Episode 2, Napoleon McCallum.
You know, acting is it's a culture to me.
When you are excellent, you become unforgettable.
For me, I think that excellence is winning.
Welcome to a new era of excellence. This is the Magnifying Excellence Podcast, powered by XLEAP.com. I'm your host, Brian Hurlburt. We're broadcasting from Las Vegas, the sports and entertainment capital of the world. As is tradition, in the intro we heard inspiring words about excellence from Football Hall of Famer Marcus Allen, entertainment icon Oprah Winfrey, and crossover golf superstar Tiger Woods. Today, Napoleon McCallum is with us. There are few athletes in history with a story as compelling as McCallum, who I call Mr. All-Purpose.
Brian, I'm just really appreciative that you brought this subject up, because any time to talk about excellence is a great time to talk about excellence.
Napoleon did it all as a football player and now continues to do all-purpose things off the field. He is a College Football Hall of Famer and also played in the NFL while serving his country in the Navy. During this episode, Napoleon reveals his definition of excellence, how Star Trek's Captain Kirk inspired him, and why team sports are a mirror of life. McCallum was a star running back and defensive back at Milford High in Ohio, and capped off his career by rushing for 1,625 yards and intercepting 12 passes as a senior. He then applied and was accepted into the prestigious U.S. Naval Academy and began rewriting both the institution's and NCAA record books. He led the nation in all-purpose yards in 1983 and 1985, and for about 20 years was the NCAA's all-time leader in the category. He was inducted into the College Hall of Fame in 2002. He also graduated with a computer science degree and holding 26 Navy football records. Plus, his jersey number, 30, became only the third in Navy history to be retired. More on that later in this podcast, because one of the two jerseys previously retired was that of Napoleon's idol. After graduating, he continued to serve his country, including a stint on a nuclear vessel where he kept in shape by training in small quarters, and also played for the Raiders, who now play in Napoleon's current hometown, Las Vegas. A devastating knee injury ended his NFL career, and he shares with us how he coped with the injury, both physically and mentally. Napoleon is Director of Community Development for Government Relations for the Sands Corporation, owners of the Venetian and Palazzo in Las Vegas, and is very active in the community. As is his nature, he was a quiet but guiding force in making the Raiders' move to Las Vegas a reality. He helped mesh together the early details and brought key people together to ensure that NFL executives and owners were comfortable with Las Vegas. So, Mr. All-Purpose, how do you define the word excellence?
Boy, it's just what you want. It's being the best at all aspects of your life. I mean, it's being excellent in anything that you want to be excellent in. I mean, if you want an excellence in your life, it's something that you got to work for. If you want excellence in how you play sports, it's something that you have to work and strive for. Excellence, boy, it's being your best. Well, I was thinking about that when I was riding my bike for some reason, because I have little girls that I coach in soccer, and you know, how do you get them to strive for excellence, or to have a goal, or to how do you do it every day? Because I don't do it every day. And when I was trying to play professional football, and you know, there were a lot of obstacles in my way. I was on board a Navy ship, not a lot of room on a nuclear guided missile cruiser to work out in. And you know, how do I overcome these obstacles? I got a Solaflex machine, and I put it in my stateroom, which is where we slept. And you know, we had a little bitty sink and two big beds, and you know, our drawers for clothes. And then in the middle of the stateroom was my Soloflex machine. And so while I was on the ship, I would work out with my Soloflex machine until, you know, the waves got too rough, and then the thing would be banging across and be a hazard. So I had to bar it up. But it's just, it's always striving. It's always trying to find, how can I be better? How, you know, knowing what you got to do to be better, how can I do it? And not letting obstacles stop you.
For Napoleon, goals are important. Small, tangible goals written down and committed to. And he also has a vision of what excellence is, and he hopes the girls he coaches and others listening to us right now can determine their own visions of excellence.
So, because you got to know what excellence looks like, you know, or where excellence is. And I would tell them, write down that goal and then focus on it and not have just a big goal, but have little goals. How are you going to get there? And then try to strive to obtain that. Like for some girls, it's like, you know, I need to run on my toes. So think about it. Think about running on your toes until it is a habit where that's all you do. I have another girl who, you know, her kicks are all over the place. And so concentrate when you're going to kick. Think about how I'm going to make the perfect kick, how I'm going to lock my ankle out, how I'm going to hit it with the right part of my foot. Think about that. Think about it. Watch it happen. See it happen. And then just keep on doing it until it becomes a habit and you've achieved excellence in kicking the ball. And so that's one step toward, you know, your overall goal. And so I think excellence is you have to have goals and you have to have steps for those goals.
How do you teach someone to figure out what excellence looks like for them?
Well, I think the easiest way is I love sports. And I have four girls. And so I love for them to play sports because it's they're quick, easily attained goals. If you focus, you know when you can't kick the ball, and then all of a sudden you work and work, and all of a sudden now I'm the best kicker. So then you start to apply that to life, and you know you do well in school, you get a job, and then you start working on that job, and they start you off at the bottom. And then you just keep working. You would keep achieving and getting feedback, how you're doing, know you're doing well, and you keep progressing and you keep achieving excellence.
The year 2020 has been filled with challenges on many, many levels. Staying motivated and inspired with so much difficult news can be a challenge for the best of us. Napoleon believes personal excellence is important, but done within a team concept.
Well, I sports is like a mirror of life. And so you see in sports how if there's a person who's an individual and not doesn't care about the team, most of the time that team doesn't really do well. But when, you know, everybody starts to work together and, you know, they know that my part is defending and I got to get the ball to the forwards. And then the forward's job is I got to keep the ball because of all the hard work that defender did to get the ball. I got to keep the ball and I got to make an opportunity for us to score and us to win. And so when you get that team concept, you know, together, everyone achieves more. And that's what it is. And the real excellent teams are the teams that are winners, are teams that everybody's on board with. You know what? They know their role. They know their spot. And they're trying. There is a personal excellence, but there's a personal excellence to help the team be excellent.
As he believes, there is nothing more important than team unity and a willingness to play for each other. On the field, Napoleon did more than his fair share, rushing the ball, catching passes, returning punts, and more. But he was also an inspiration to his teammates, and he didn't have to raise his voice to get people motivated and to strive for a shared excellence.
You know, So I'm not like, now I'm the rah-rah guy because I'm a coach and I got to be the rah-rah guy. When I was at the Raiders, you know, not so much the rah-rah guy, but just, you know, I was the guy that people saw that like, golly, look how hard he's working. You know, he's got Bo Jackson ahead of him. He's got Eric Dickerson ahead of him. He's got Marcus Allen ahead of him, you know, and he still keeps working, you know, and he's doing everything he needs to do. It's like, you know, Knapp, you're on every special teams, you know, because I'm working to make the team better because I know that's my role on the team. And so I've got to be excellent in special teams. I mean, I was so good in special teams. And finally, when all those guys were gone and it was my turn to be running back, before the first game, Art Shell comes up to me and says, Knapp, Art Shell was our head coach and Steve Ortmeier was our special teams coach. And Steve Ortmeier had gone to Art Shell and said, Art, Knapp's too valuable to me on special teams. And he's got to play, you know, he's got to play special teams and he can't be the starting fullback. and so are we going to be hurting in special teams? And he had to tell me, and this was in the year I was renegotiating my contract and Art, Al Davis had said that if you're the starting running back, we're going to pay you starting money. And so, because of that game, that first game, Monday Night Football, I, you know, played special teams and then we were not hurting, but they needed me at running back. So not only did I do all the special teams, but I went back at fullback, you know, because the team needed me.
An entire podcast or more could be filled with McCallum's experiences at Navy and what he learned through the experience. It wasn't easy, and sometimes patience was needed to understand why and how things were done at the Academy and how they built excellence.
At the Naval Academy, we always wondered, why are we going through all this stupid stuff? Why are you yelling at me constantly? Why do I gotta, when you're in the hallways, you gotta chop. They call it chopping. It's like a little jog in the middle of the hallway. And every time you turn, you gotta say, go Navy, sir. Beat Army, sir. You know, you have to say one of those phrases. You know, every time you're in the hall, you know, why do you have to eat straight up and down and, you know, you take one bite and chew your food? Or why do they ask you questions, you know, under pressure? They get in your face and ask you, how long you been in the Navy? And like, all me blooming life, my mother was a mermaid, my father was King Neptune, I was born on the crest of the wave, rocking the cradle, you know, and you have to give answers just like that. And I was like, why? Why do we have to go through all this stupid mess? Why do we have to wake up early in the morning? Why do we have to know chow calls, which, you know, sir, you now have 10 minutes, morning meal formation, uniform for morning meal formation, uniform alpha, you know, and then you got to spill out what the menu is for that to everybody. And why do you have to do that? And then they showed a video kind of after you've gone through a lot of it. And they're saying, this is why we go through this. Is like when you're landing a billion-dollar aircraft on an aircraft carrier that's, you know, only 300 yards long, and you only have three ropes that you have to hit, and if you miss those three ropes, you have to have enough speed to take off again. Or someone gives you a direction, there are certain procedures that you have to follow to a T with no hesitation, or you will die or kill other people. And so then it brings it home. This is why we do all this stuff. This is why, you know, everybody is pushing you for, you know, to be excellent, you know, because lives matter, you know, and you will come into a situation where you are going to have to react, and you cannot panic. You cannot, it's like, what do I do? You know, right. It's like you have to do, because there's a time limit for you to save somebody's life or save the whole crew's life.
A huge part of the Navy experience is the annual game versus Army. The outcome of the game is crucial to the type of year that will be had at the Academy.
Life at Annapolis is indeed a challenge, but one which fosters in a young man the maturity and confidence needed to become a leader. The tradition of excellence and pride here are world-renowned, but no tradition is stronger or more unique than the one surrounding the last football game of every Navy season.
1983 Army-Navy game program.
The Army-Navy game, America's most renowned football rivalry.
Fortunately for McCallum and his fellow teammates and undergraduates, he played his best in the ultimate game. He went 4-0 against Army and rushed for nearly 500 yards in total. He also learned lessons in life about how people can be rivals on one day, but then come together in other ways for the common good, respecting each other throughout.
You get indoctrinated that that's the team you got to beat as soon as you get to the Naval Academy. Like I said, when you make these turns in the hallways as a freshman, you're going, go Navy, beat Army. And then you're instilling in the next class of freshmen, you know, go Navy, beat Army. And so everything is like, but are you a plebe having to go? A plebe is like your freshman. That's what they call you, kind of a little demeaning. But, are you going to have a good year? depends on if the football team has a good year, or plays Army well. It's a big deal. And so it's a rivalry. But it's a rivalry knowing that, each of us, iron is sharpening iron. And so we're trying to make them great, and they're trying to make us great so that we can both serve our country and be the best fighting force in the world.
There have been many big moments in Napoleon's career and some very memorable times at Navy, including in 1985 when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated along with future NFL Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. A couple other moments of excellence stand out for Napoleon.
Graduating from the Naval Academy was an excellent moment. I was the leading all-purpose yardage runner at the Naval Academy. Leading all-purpose NCAA all-time all-purpose leader. So I caught punts, caught passes, ran the ball, had more yardage, career yardage than anyone. So that was huge for me. Another big moment in my life was playing in the Senior Bowl. And I think I was like the third running back. And Bo Jackson was on the opposite team. And I ended up getting the most valuable player as the third string running back. And so that was, a highlight in my career, because people had put me in this place because I went to the Naval Academy and then worked my way up in a game to be the most valuable player.
We hope you are enjoying this episode of Magnifying Excellence. Be sure to download our other episodes, which all can be found at xlete.com. That's xlete.com, xlete.com. Also, visit the site and join the Magnifying Excellence Club and receive a first in a series of Magnifying Excellence ebooks. Now, back to Napoleon. As previously stated, McCallum is Mr. All-Purpose, and being the leader in all-purpose yards was very important to him. That diversity continues to be revealed in his business and family life and by how he strives for excellence in different areas.
feel special. You know what? I didn't think about it back then. It was just like every aspect I wanted to be great in. And I wanted to strive for excellence in all those areas. When I caught a ball, I wanted a punt, a ball. I wanted to do my best to get as much yardage as I could. And then I think after on Sunday after the games, I always looked at the stats and saw how high, you know, what did I do and who was beating me. And so it's like, okay, I got to do better this time because such and such is ahead of me. And so I set these little personal goals that I had that would help the team. If I succeeded in my goals, the whole team succeeds. So I guess that, you know, you set personal goals that help the team.
We all have people we admire in life, and so does McCallum, even if one happens to be a fictional character, Captain Kirk from Star Trek. Another is a fellow Naval Academy graduate and former NFL player, Roger Staubach. Like McCallum, Staubach's jersey number 12 will never be worn again by a Navy football player.
My people I looked up to, Roger Staubach. I mean, just a great quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and found out later on that he was from my home area in Cincinnati and gone to the Naval Academy, which I ended up going to.
And how did he inspire you?
I just think his greatness, his tenacity, his getting out of trouble and then making a big play. You know, and then later on that, finding out that he had gone to the Naval Academy and how great he was at the Naval Academy. You know, it was just inspirational, but he inspired me. He was probably my favorite football player. My favorite football player growing up. And then I would say, oh boy, Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. he was the man. And, you know, those were characters that I just grew up, you know, trying to emulate our characters that inspired.
And why did Captain Kirk and how did Captain Kirk inspire you?
Oh man, Captain Kirk, he was good with the ladies. He he commanded the starship, always got him out of trouble. You know, his determination, you know, to save the crew, to get the crew out of a bad situation, just his leadership. And then being able to count on people. You know who to go to count on for the whole ship, the whole Enterprise to be, and the Federation to be successful.
That's an incredible answer. That's awesome, man. That's why I'm doing these interviews, for answers like that.
During his playing career, McCallum would witness excellence from his peers. Two that stand out were Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson, who was arguably the greatest athlete in sports history.
He was around my time, Bo Jackson. I mean, he was just an incredible running back.
And how did Herschel Walker, what did Herschel Walker do that you respected so much?
Well, I just, how he ran the ball. You know, I didn't hear his story, like when they do the 30-30 and they tell the story of how he grew up, kind of a fat, chubby kid, and how you know, he dedicated himself to being the best at a very, very young age, losing the weight and the drive. But just how he ran the ball, how he was just, fast and powerful and just knocked people off of him. That was kind of inspiring and Bo Jackson, kind of the same way, just incredible, powerful, fast runners. So they were inspiring as football players. I just, you know, I didn't know him personally at the time, but I just his ability. I think, you know, to see him, how fast he ran, how he broke tackles, you know, how he was so impactful to his team. You know, that was inspiring. You know what? It's like, how do I become more impactful to my team? So, you know, maybe I've got to have more desire, you know, I got to break more tackles. I got a straight arm, or, you know, what about this move, or know my plays better. So I know, you know, hey, as soon as the guard blocks him, certain, he has his head on this part of the body, then I can cut this way.
On September 5th, 1994, Napoleon's life and career was changed forever when he suffered a devastating knee injury on Monday Night Football. Surgeries and rehab over the next many months weren't enough, and his career was over. It was excruciating in many ways, but McCallum relied on the gospel and his internal chase for excellence to bounce back in a life without football. ESPN and legendary broadcaster Dan Patrick captured the moment.
23-14 at halftime, Haas Dettler to Napoleon McCallum. We'll get back to him in a moment because McCallum ready to go to the locker room, ready for battle in the second half. This would be his final play of the night and maybe his final play for some time. If you look at it, it probably ranks up there with the injury to Joe Theismann that ended his career. It's a dislocated left knee.
You know, I have to go back to, boy, that was a real low point in my life. And then, you know, you had to... Like, I spoke to a lot of kids and shared with them, you know, my beliefs on how do you become great and, you know, excellence and striving and not putting all your eggs in one basket. And so I had a great education. Yes, I wanted to play football, but that's not only thing I can do. And then, you know, inspirationally, God is a big part of my life. And, you know, I'd always heard that sometimes God closes a door so that you can walk through the door, you know, and the door is the door that is, you know, your next thing that God has you to do in your life for success. And so that's the way I looked at it. And so it's like, this door is closing on my life. Now, what am I going to do? And I started a business and came to Las Vegas.
There you go. And we're glad you did. Yeah. So obviously there's the emotional part of that journey and there's the physical part of that journey. A lot of different surgeries, rehab, I'm sure was grueling.
Yeah.
Again, how did you stay motivated to get through it emotionally and physically, everything that was going through?
Yeah. Well, I still didn't, you know, God was closing this door, but I was like, well, if he really has it closed, there's no way I'm going to come back, but I ought to strive. You know, one thing he's told me, you know, is to work hard. And he's given me the ability to work hard. And so I worked rehabbing my knee, you know, trying to come back. And I worked it so, you know, hard that, you know, I really have limited disability, you know. So I can still, which was great because it allowed me to still be able to do things like golf and ride my bike. At one point in time, I was still playing basketball. I think because I worked so hard rehabbing my knee, I could still enjoy and have a quality life. But then I went on to, start a business and here in Las Vegas. And started my journey here, which brought me to Las Vegas, which started my journey here to Las Vegas to do great things here.
And maybe it ties back to the quote about the door, but were there times you wanted to quit? And if so, what got you through it?
Well, at the time I had a family, so there's no quitting. You know, I'm trying to be successful for my family, you know, creating opportunities for them to be successful. And so I had to work so that they, you know, trying to provide the best for them like my parents did. for me. So there was always a striving. There hasn't been kind of like a relaxation, like, okay, I'm there. I don't have to work as hard.
As we talked, a poster with the word determination in all caps was behind Napoleon in his home office. It serves as a daily reminder about how excellence and determination are intertwined.
Well, excellence is a hard road. It is hard to achieve. And so you have to have determination, because in your strive for excellence, there are always roadblocks or obstacles or things that hurdles that you have to overcome. And so it takes determination to overcome those obstacles. And I like to share with my soccer people that, you know, if you look at a mountain, and it's really, it's not very wide at the top, but it's real wide at the bottom. And when people try to climb mountains, you know, a lot of people, they go up the side of the hill and, you know, it's like, oh, this is too hard, and they quit. And as you go up that obstacle, there's up the mountain, there's steep parts, there's ravines that you have to get over. There's all these obstacles in it. And you gotta keep striving, and you gotta overcome these obstacles so that you can get higher and higher up that mountain. And so, you know, excellence is trying to strive up that mountain.
Napoleon was a Raider, and the team's motto is commitment to excellence. Decades after playing for Raider Nation, they now play in a stadium a few miles away from his home, where the team still tries to live up to the late Al Davis mantra: "Just win, baby."
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing: just win, baby.
Well, they were about winning. And, another quote that Mr. Davis is, just win, baby, you know. And so, you know, you strive to win. And in that striving to win, you try to be the best at your position. And so that commitment to excellence is not only a team commitment to excellence, but it's an individual commitment to excellence so that you can help the team.
Many times, McCallum's fictional idol, Captain Kirk, took the road less traveled. That quote and philosophy has been front and center for Napoleon as he continually chases excellence in his life. Enrolling in the Naval Academy and trying to be a college and pro football certainly was the road less traveled. And that determination was much needed for success and excellence.
Well, fortunately, I had a taste of it when I first graduated from the Naval Academy. I was stationed on board a amphibious assault ship that was dry docked in Long Beach. And at the time, the Raiders practice was in El Segundo. So I would get up early in the morning, go to the ship, work on the ship. And around lunchtime, I would go over to the Raider practice facility and practice. And after the first year of doing both, the Navy basically restationed me on board a nuclear guided missile cruiser, and I was cruising the world for, you know, 3 years. So I didn't, you know, I was on board the ship just trying to stay fit so that I could come back. And eventually I got restationed in San Diego, tried out with the Chargers. Didn't make the Charger team. I think it was more political than, you know, my ability. I mean, basically, I made it to the last cut, and, you know, he told me I was cut. And, you know, like any good person, business person, well, what can I do better? How can I come back and make the team? And basically, they said, you need to run a 4.640. And I came back, I ran a 4.58, and then they told me, okay, now we want you to run it against the wind. And I ran a 4.63, and then they averaged it 4.61, And then they released me. So it wasn't about my ability there. It was just, you know, something politically, you know, way for them to say that this is why we released you. And then I called up the Raiders and said that the Chargers are going to release me. And they were like, no, don't let them release you. It's like, we will trade for you.
Wow.
And so the Raiders, I guess, knew my value, and they traded for me. And I ended up back with the Raiders and finished out my career at the Raiders.
Napoleon is soft-spoken, empathetic, but also a person who demands performance and hard work. His advice about chasing excellence is to plan the journey and commit to the process.
I think it's been said a lot of times, and you know, just because it's said a lot of times doesn't mean it's less true. But you've got to have goals. You have to have little steps that you that are easily achieved, that inspire you to go to the next level, to achieve the next goal, that's going to help you achieve the next goal, to help you get to your ideal of excellence that is right now. And then as you reach there to that level of excellence, then you got to, you know, re-examine what excellence is for you. And then I think it's that striving for excellence, you know, like we said earlier on, it's the striving that of excellence, that commitment to be excellent. That's really the key. And that takes determination and drive. You know, it takes determination. It's a hard road, but it's a road. It's so good to be on that road. You know, I look around sometimes. One of the things that, you know, when I pray, I am thankful for everything that has happened in my life. And sometimes we're not appreciative of what we have in our life already, or the things that we can already achieve. You know, some of my girls on my soccer team, they're like always down on themselves. Like, I can't do this. I can't do that. And I was like, well, look, you were in the pool and you were the best tread water, or you are the best swimmer, you know, and it's like, you can do things, you know, you're not, and they're downing themselves so much. And it's just like, well, right now you don't know how to do this because you haven't put the time in to really learn how to do it. When you were a baby, you couldn't read, you know, you had to learn your ABCs and learn how to form words. And then eventually you read. So it is a process. It's a journey. And so you've got to be willing to take that journey, and don't be deterred. You know, it's appreciate your successes and be thankful for them, because the thing is, there are people there that have lived their life differently, who maybe didn't strive for excellence, or weren't determined, or had some obstacle that they couldn't overcome. And you can see them all over the place. And so it's your job to be excellent so you can go back and help them.
A big thanks to Napoleon McCallum for allowing us to magnify his excellence. And thank you for listening. You can visit xleet.com to share your definition of excellence with us. Also, if you've witnessed excellence, please share that as well. Plus, read quotes and stories about the excellence of Natalie Gulbis, Greg Norman, LeBron James, and many others. If you enjoyed this episode, please think about becoming a member of the xleet Magnifying Excellence Club. We thank you greatly for your support. This has been the Magnifying Excellence Podcast, powered by xleet.com. From our studio in Las Vegas, the sports and entertainment capital of the world. Our producer and music creator is Jay Hurley Productions. Any brief celebrity quotes do not imply endorsement of xleet.com or the Magnifying Excellence Podcast. All rights reserved.